Right now, it's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
There we go. Turn on that microphone. Thank you, Miller Man. Giorgio, you just made me aware of something I was already aware of.
Okay.
For the first time.
That sounds like something Jerry would say.
Well, it does. And that gives me a segue.
Segue.
Is that the way you pronounce it?
Yep.
I've always just read the word, so I'm not sure how you say it. Mm-hmm. I have talked about this a little bit on the Twitch stream. I don't know how much I've talked about it on the air. Did I talk about it at the compound?
Zero.
I don't think so.
Compound, however you say it. I thought I did. Maybe it was on with one of the other shows that came up or something. But yeah, there's an exciting new animated show that's going to be airing at some point in the future. Baby. No, it will air. I'm just not sure of the time. The last I heard, it was going to be in the spring. But there is one muser who is involved in the project. So I figured we'd
go around the horn.
It's me.
Gordon Keith.
It's me. It's called Keeping Up with the Joneses. And, Giorgio, I believe you have the report in front of you. It was in the Hollywood Reporter. Kind of surprised me that they reported about this so soon.
The show's description says the program will follow the Newberry family. Mm-hmm. As they try to keep up with their staggeringly wealthy Dallas neighbors, including the one next door, Jerry Jones.
Hello.
And it's called Keeping Up with the Joneses.
What is this going to air on?
Adult Swim.
Which I need to watch more of, because every time I just stumble into it, there's something really funny on
it. It is. It's really funny. It is a really groundbreaking block of programming for adults.
I wonder about that, though. The humor is really
edgy. And
if you have kids up, you know, past eight, and I don't know, maybe they're sick in bed or something, the parents flipping through, oh, here's a cartoon.
So it's going to be on the it's an adult oriented television block of programming on the Cartoon Network.
Okay.
And it's a broadcast during the evening and in prime time. And so this is Keeping Up with the Joneses, and these are 22-minute episodes, half-hour episodes. And I got approached by a Hollywood casting agent. And
well, that's a pretty big deal.
I know. And in typical me fashion, I didn't respond to their emails for probably a couple
six months
because I kept intending to get around to it, and I never did. And then finally, Catman, what was that? Mm-hmm. You hear that?
No.
Yeah.
Or was that just in my ears?
No,
you heard
it
too.
Mine, yeah.
Okay.
What was it?
I have no idea.
Someone's computer.
Oh, what is that sound?
I think it just got
it's
another
email drop.
Oh, okay. Let's see. It's comedy. It's production.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Try to keep up.
I don't have my computer.
It's not Mac, so I didn't quite recognize it because I'm a Mac guy.
Oh boy.
So then Catman said, "Hey, look, there's some Hollywood person trying to get a hold of you, and they called me saying, hey, do you know how to get a hold of Gordon Keith?" So
how many times has Cat fielded a phone call?
I know, and I feel like bad for him. He's got many more important things to do than wrangle me. So I called this person and they said, hey, look, here's the deal. There's these creators in Hollywood. They've done several projects, and they named the projects that these people had done. And I was familiar with them. One of them was a Kristen Bell miniseries on Netflix. One of them was the Mike Tyson Mysteries, the animated Mike Tyson Mysteries. Did you ever see that?
No.
Mike Tyson does his own voice in that.
Sounds
it's
funny.
Kind of like a Scooby-Doo takeoff. So it's vulgar and it's Mike Tyson. They did that. They did a TV show called The Nobodies that ran for a couple seasons.
Is that Hugh Davidson?
Yeah, Hugh Davidson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Rachel Ramirez and Larry there is the third guy.
Larry Dorff.
Dorff. Really funny people. They were in The Groundlings with Dax Shepard and a bunch of other people. Melissa McCarthy. All those. So said, hey, they are doing this new show, and it's about Jerry Jones. Actually, the family that lives next door to Jerry Jones, but Jerry plays, you know, somewhat of a, you know,
pretty big role.
Yeah, plays a role in their lives because they're trying to keep up with him, and he's always he appears in a few of the episodes. And would you be interested? They really want you to read for the part. You know, they'd like to do a reading with you. So I did that. And we did that over Zoom. And that was a little nerve-wracking because I'm over Zoom. And then I'm looking at two screenfuls of people there. So it looked like there were two conference rooms, different locations. The creators are in one with some, I don't know, four or five other people. I can't remember. And then there was another conference room where people were watching, too. And I'm having to read these lines with them as fake Jerry.
So they didn't want to give you the part. They wanted you to read for it. I wonder how many other people read
I don't know. I got the feeling that it wasn't... It's somehow beyond an audition, but it's not you already have the part.
Okay, they just wanted to make 100% sure and hear it
for
themselves.
That's the feeling I got.
Yeah.
Is that Hugh... who is one of the three creators. He used to live in Highland Park at one point in his life, and he kind of grew up in San Antonio. He's a huge Spurs fan.
Okay.
And I guess through mutual friends or whatever, he had heard about us and our fake Jerry, and and so they had been trying to track me down to do that.
Okay.
So did you use the same fake Jerry voice, or did you try to sound more like real
Jerry?
Yeah,
so I talked about this on Twitch a couple weeks ago. I read for the part of fake Jerry, and they loved it. We laughed. It was great. And then they said, hey, you got this. We'd like to start recording. And I had probably already recorded three episodes when it dawned on me. I said, oh, wait a second. I meant to tell you guys, I know this doesn't sound like Jerry Jones. I'm aware of that. I said, version I've been doing is the one that we do on the air just because it's the cartoony version that we've been doing of Jerry for forever. And I told him the whole story about, I have a real Jerry if you want one that sounds a little bit more like his real voice.
Well, it's a cartoon.
So. Yeah, they were like, no, we like exactly what you're doing. Just keep doing that.
Good.
So, yeah. But it didn't dawn on me until much further into the process to do it as regular, as real fake Jerry.
Camoose.
Double fake.
Camoose.
Double fake, more real Jerry.
So you've recorded three. How many?
No, that was when I told them that I had a real Jerry voice if they wanted that one.
You've recorded 50?
No, I've recorded 10. We've already done the first season. Dang. The first season is 10 episodes. And we've completed those first 10.
Wow.
And, Hugh just texted me the other day when that Hollywood Reporter story came out saying that... it was the first time the show, I guess, had been public that they'd announced the show. So, yeah, that's coming up, and I think it's going to be in the spring. I'm not sure. I will let you know when that thing airs because I'm sure the P1s are going to want to see the ridiculousness of Jerry Jones.
Really interesting.
Have you seen the caricature, what it's going to look like?
I have seen a little bit of it. They shared some of the animation with me. There's kind of a preliminary form of animation that they do. That they'll show you. And
I saw a picture in this article I was reading. Where did it go?
Yeah, there's a picture, I think, in that article, and I'll tweet that out. I've seen it. It's going to look funny. It seemed like it looked kind of Simpsons-y, right?
Yeah,
it was a more animation style.
Yeah.
And the Mike Tyson Mysteries that they did, that was more of the Scooby-Doo type look. And this may have some Scooby-Doo type look to it as well. But, yeah, it's really exciting.
That's
it's
great.
Really fun.
Man, your lifelong dream to voice a cartoon?
Yes. I always wanted to be a cartoon voice guy. So I've done a little bit of that before, but this is never on this scale, you know, of a on Adult Swim. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's exciting.
To do something on Adult Swim. Yeah.
You know how many dudes are going to be getting baked to this show?
Oh,
watching?
My gosh. And it's got some vulgarity in it.
Does Jerry cuss?
No, and thank God they didn't. Because I was worried about that. I was like, okay, I know, because I read this, they send me the scripts, because I got to read them before I go in and perform them. And so I read the whole episode, and I was worried at first going, oh, man, if they do really vulgar Jerry, that's going to be kind of shocking for our listeners.
Yes.
Who are used to the constraints of broadcast radio. And just there's still a side of me, as crazy as I am, I'm still a preacher's boy. It still feels weird to me to be completely vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
But so I was like, oh, gosh. But when I got the script and read it, Jerry rarely cusses. I mean, he cusses sometimes. And I think that's intentional on their part. They're like, these fictitious characters we can make them as vulgar as we want to be.
Right.
If we start getting in and messing with Jerry Jones and his family, making them a lot more vulgar, I think that they would probably want to avoid a headache there.
Yeah.
If
please tell me that you'll do like an outtake thing where Jerry's really vulgar and does all sorts of crazy stuff. Just for our entertainment. They'll never air it, but
like if we ever did a podcast or something like that.
That's a good idea.
Choice material for that.
Where are you recording this?
I go to a studio here in Dallas.
Okay.
And they're on a video link from LA when we do it, then they'll, you know, read their lines and then, you know, surrounding my lines, they give me the cues and
when you walk in, do they ever say what's going on with your hair?
No, they haven't said that. I can see them kind of looking at my hair going, man, that thing looks like it has its own ecosystem.
So you guys are reading all of your lines together?
No, they're just reading with me as I do my recording. You know,
interacting with the other characters.
They're not doing their full performance.
Gotcha.
They're just, they're just reading the script with me.
Gotcha. And that's like a
big legit.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's legit. And they're so sweet. And once again, it's the experience I had when I was interviewing actors and back in the day when I did the TV stuff. All those Hollywood people, you think they're going to be really jerky. And I'm sure, absolutely, there's some who are the stereotype that we have. But they are really are like regular people, just like anybody else that you'd meet who is funny and worried and wants to do a good job. And they're enthusiastic and they have, you know, self-consciousness. It's like they're just regular people. Mm-hmm. And Hugh is really, really nice.
Regular
I really like
people
that
are against America.
Oh, God. That's right. Because they're from Hollywood. So, yeah, that.
That's congratulations.
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. Now, there also is a huge anniversary that we didn't get too much time to talk about, but perhaps we will at a different time. Jaws is having its 50th anniversary. 50 years. It's been half a century.
What a great
since
movie.
The very first summer blockbuster.
So they put
place.
It out beginning of the summer, early June, or
June 20th, I think.
Oh, is that late into the summer? Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it was huge. What a cultural moment Jaws was.
I was there for it.
Did you see it in the theater?
Yep, yes, I did.
See, I only saw it later on in cable.
And we were 10. What the heck were our parents letting us watch that thing for?
It was the theater on the square in downtown Lancaster, and I went with my cousin Brian. And we sat in the front row, and he brought a little toy gun to shoot the shark anytime it scared us.
Huh. Sure, that works.
I went with C.B. Erickson.
Made up name, but thank you for that story.
It's on a Sunday afternoon.
Steven Spielberg was 27 years of age when he directed that movie.
Wow.
And it was a disaster of a production. Steven Spielberg thought he'd never work again because everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Shark malfunctioned, all
that. They spent all this money to build this mechanical shark, and it didn't work. And they had tested it and tried it, and okay, this is going to work. But they had realized later they had tested it in fresh water. And as soon as they put it in the ocean, the thing just corroded and stopped working.
Went belly up.
Yeah, so that's why there's only a few scenes where they had the thing that where it actually could move.
But that's even better.
Yeah. It turned out that was, course, the greatest thing to do with it was you imply the shark with the barrels rather than having to show the shark all the time.
Yeah.
It made the unseen enemy is always the creepiest because you never know when it's lurking and you just get even just the shots of when they wanted to show it moving through the water and you see the camera moving from the shark's perspective with just the music.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's such a great technique.
And that opening scene with that poor girl just goes.
Do you like that first pull that the shark has on it? Oh, what was that? Oh, God, no.
Stop.
That girl said that she almost drowned during that scene because they had her rigged up with cables to pull her each direction.
Oh.
Yeah. God. How scary is that? She just died recently. Oh. Like a few years ago, the girl that did the opening scene. Yeah. And some of them are still alive. Mrs. Brody is still alive. Hooper is still alive. Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, yep.
But, of course, Chief Brody passed away. Roy Scheider. And Robert Shaw passed away not too long after that.
Yep.
He died of a heart attack
great
like in
character.
His mid-50s or something like that. He played the role of Quint. And I remember being freaked out when I later learned, because I didn't know Robert Shaw, like, you know, I wasn't Hollywood aware, but he's British. It's so weird to hear him talk with his British accent.
Mm-mm. Still to this day, I'll see some actor interviewed on an entertainment show and they got a British accent. I'm like, I'll be damned.
Swear great they movie. Were there. 50th anniversary, and Peacock and NBC are doing it up big for this. Jaws will air on NBC on June 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern, so that's 7 o'clock our time, right? Yeah.
We got summer chill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the night before.
Yeah, George.
I thought that was Thursday.
Summer chill's Thursday.
Gotcha. Friday's the 20th, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, and they're also going to have all four Jaws movies streaming exclusively on Peacock starting now. You can see all four. And only the first two are really worth your time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get especially into, the first one.
You get into Jaws 3D. This time it's personal.
Terrible.
No.
Terrible.
Horrible. And then Jaws the Revenge that came out in 1987. All right.